KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, it's clear and 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny here today with a high around 58. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In the news, the Iowa House has approved a measure that would prohibit local schools from beginning classes before the fourth Monday in August. Backers say the measure approved Tuesday takes into account Iowa's farm-based economy by keeping summer open for activities like the state fair and farming. Opponents say the state shouldn't meddle in matters best left to local school officials. Current law says local schools can't begin the academic year until after September 1st, but they are allowed to seek waivers from that requirement. Many school districts seek the waiver and are allowed to begin earlier. The measure cleared the House by a 54-44 vote and now goes to the Iowa Senate. News time is 8:06.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And here's a reminder from the station where your friends are. As we told you last week, a student-led movement to create awareness of the value of Iowa's public universities delivered throughout the state is coming to Atlantic tomorrow evening. Universities for a Better Iowa will hold a program at the Cass County Community Center from 5 until 6:30 p.m. And during that event, alumni and friends of the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and University of Northern Iowa, along with student leaders at those institutions, will be in attendance. One of those planning to make the trip to Atlantic is Greta Johnson, a native of Lamar's in northwest Iowa. Johnson grew up on a farm, attended the Lamar's Community High School, and received an undergraduate degree from Iowa State University in political science. She'll be graduating soon from the University of Northern Iowa with a master's degree in Youth and Human Service Administration. Johnson says the Universities for a Better Iowa is designed to showcase all the great things of public education at Iowa's college and universities have to offer.
You know, a lot of times when we think about the universities, we usually think of Ames, Iowa City, and Cedar Falls, when really the impact is statewide, including Western Iowa and Eastern Iowa.
Budget cutbacks and rising tuition costs are things all public colleges and universities have to deal with, but Johnson says these challenging times will make the institutions better in the end by making them stronger. That, along with the value of a college education, will be demonstrated to those in attendance at the meeting Thursday by student leaders from the three big universities in Iowa.
50% of all doctors in Iowa were trained at Iowa public universities, and that includes 6 doctors in Cass County. 7 Cass County veterinarians were trained at Iowa public university, among other statistics that show that the people that graduate from public universities go back to their hometowns and contribute. So it truly is an investment from the state.
She says college grads in Iowa become their community's business leaders, doctors, pharmacists, and more. The presentations Thursday evening are put on by the students from the University of Iowa, ISU, and UNI.
They'll be sharing some of their personal experiences of why they chose the universities and the impact that it's made in their life, as well as some alumni from the area that will talk a little bit about their experiences and the benefits that attending the public universities has had in their career and life. And so it's bound to be a great time.
Light snacks and refreshments also will be served. The event is free and open to the public. Elsewhere in area news, one person was transported to the hospital following a two-vehicle collision Tuesday in Harlan. According to the Harlan police, a vehicle driven by Casey Esparza of Kirkman rear-ended a car driven by Stephen Madges of Panama as Madges was slowing to turn west onto 900th Street from southbound Highway 59. Esparza was transported to Murtu Medical Center in Harlan by medevac ambulance. She told authorities she'd looked down for just a second prior to the accident. Officials cited her for driving with an expired license following too closely and failure to have insurance. Damage from the accident amounted to $9,000. Sheriff's officials in Mills County say an accident Monday evening south of Malvern has claimed the life of an Arkansas man. 32-year-old Cade Kling of England, Arkansas, was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which took place just before 6 p.m. on southbound 310th Street. The sheriff's department says Kling was driving a pickup truck when the right front wheel left the road onto the shoulder. Kling overcorrected, sending the pickup into a skid. The truck rolled over and came to rest on its top. Kling, who was wearing his seatbelt, was trapped inside the vehicle. It's not clear if alcohol was a factor in the crash, which remains under investigation. The Bills County Sheriff's Office was assisted at the scene by Malvern Fire and Rescue and Glenwood Rescue. The Red Oak Police Department reports two people were arrested overnight. At around 3:45 today, 38-year-old Tanya Michelle Danick of Red Oak was arrested on a charge of OWI first offense. She also received a warning for failure to display her vehicle's registration tag. Danick was being held this morning in the Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. And just before 11 p.m. Tuesday, Red Oak Police arrested 31-year-old Joshua Edward Maston of Stanton on a charge of driving while suspended. Maston was subsequently released on a citation. A boil notice has been issued for the town of Mount Air in Ringgold County. The city of more than 1,800 people had lost water pressure because of a power and pumping problem. The water service was restored by Tuesday afternoon. Officials say it'll take a couple of days of testing, though, before the water is certified as safe to drink or for use in cooking. Federal regulators have confirmed their preliminary finding that a fire last June at an idled Nebraska nuclear plant presented a serious safety threat. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission released its final determination on Tuesday, saying the small fire at the Fort Calhoun plant, 19 miles north of Omaha, merited the NRC's most serious high safety significance. The finding mirrored the commission's preliminary conclusion, which was announced on March the 12th. The fire briefly knocked out the cooling system used for fuel. The NRC said the plant was shut down at the time and the temperatures never exceeded safe levels. But it also said the fire was a major concern because it could have happened when the plant was operational and that workers didn't fully investigate an unusual smell in the area 3 days earlier. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, a special prosecutor says she'll soon make a decision in the Trayvon Martin shooting. Meanwhile, two lawyers who've quit representing the neighborhood watch volunteer who shot the teen say George Zimmerman is under high levels of stress and has lost weight. They say they're concerned for his safety as well. Zimmerman says he shot the teen in self-defense. The head of the Republican Governors Association says it's time for conservatives to unify behind Mitt Romney now that Rick Santorum has dropped out of the race. Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell tells CBS's This Morning program that Republicans have an excellent chance to make Barack Obama a one-term president and that they should be, quote, keeping their eyes on the big prize, which is winning the presidency. Police say at least 9 suspected illegal immigrants have died and 6 more were injured when the van they were traveling in rolled over in a South Texas border town. A police commander said the van was carrying 19 people from Mexico and that he believes they were all in the U.S. illegally. He says 2 people who fled the wreck are in custody and 2 more are on the loose. News time is 8:12.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Reverend Arthur W. Anderson, age 83, of Waukee, died Friday. Services for Reverend Arthur Anderson will be held today at 10:30 at the Westover Baptist Church in Des Moines. Graveside services will be held this afternoon. Isles Funeral Home Westover Chapel has the arrangements. Stephanie Renee Musich, age 36, of Erling, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Stephanie Musich will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ronald Laverne Getzinger, age 73, of Shelby, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Ron Getzinger will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Raymond N. Nielsen, age 98, of Hamlin, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Raymond Nielsen will be on Thursday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Burton S. Beck, age 82, of Elkhorn, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Burton S. Beck will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Eleanor Little, age 81, of Panora, died Wednesday. That's last Wednesday in Sebring, Florida. Funeral services for Eleanor Little will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Church of Brethren in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Charles Larson, age 66, of Kibbleton, died Monday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Services for Charles Larson will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Bethany Lutheran Church in Kibbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kibbleton has arrangements. Richard Peterson, age 81, of Elkhorn and formerly of Avoca, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Richard Peterson will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Hazel Watts, age 74, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Hazel Watts will be Friday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Edith Marie Haynes, age 85, of Oakland, died Friday at the Oakland Manor. Memorial services for Edith Haynes will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home of Oakland has arrangements. Lewis McCall, age 96, of Bridgewater, died March 28th at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A memorial luncheon for Lewis McCall will be held at noon on Saturday at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church, with Esteen Funeral Home of Fontenelle in charge of arrangements. Vernon Gilbert, age 84, of Scottsdale, Arizona, and a former longtime Atlantic resident, died Sunday. His body has been donated to science at the University of Arizona at Tucson. Services for Vernon Gilbert will be held at a later date. And Mark Conrad, age 56, of Harlan, died Thursday at his home. Services for Mark Conrad are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.